show, Gary Noll, is heard Monday through Friday at noon here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web, a listener-sponsored community radio station providing you a Pacifica state of mind since 1960. The time now is 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind.
Hi there, this is Julian Gioiello with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And here hosting with me today is Ben Starr.
Hey Julian, great to be here.
Great to be here, and sorry about those technical difficulties we've been dealing with lately. It hasn't been us here at the studio. There's been some stuff going on at WBAI where us transferring our shows to them has been bringing up some problems. So just thanks for sticking with us and tuning in today. And here in the studio today, we also have a special guest.
Yeah, very special guest joining us, Maggie Wu from flywithmaggie.com, the travel blog. Welcome, Maggie.
Thank you guys for having me here.
And Maggie comes from Shanghai in China. And she's going to be joining us today while we talk about a very poignant topic that I conferred with Armand many times about, and we always talked about how important we felt that this was and how relevant it was to our generation. And we've all heard the story. Live in the now, right? And on this program, we often advocate the concept of be here now, feel everything. And this topic is one that Armand and I always wanted to talk about. We've heard the story. You know, we spoke about distractions, things that keep you from experiencing what feelings you should be feeling. And one of the biggest distractions of our generation in contemporary life is the cell phone, especially the smartphone. So we, you know, people have cell phones and they've had cell phones for a while. You can text and you can call. The smartphone comes along this thing, this square of light and glass and metal that allows you to call someone, call your boss, schedule a meeting, buy movie tickets for a date later, take a photo, edit that photo, go on the internet, post the photo, and share it with your friends and family, all while walking down the street. And this is the smartphone, this sort of extension of ourselves that's come around. And this phone allows you to, you know, check your stocks. And while you're driving, people do this, and they'll text and all this kind of stuff. And it's really quite a change that's come along.
It really is, Julian, and they've become ubiquitous. I mean, we've now seen nearly 4 in 5 Americans, I think, own a smartphone, and it's just become, as I said, ubiquitous. We looked at a survey of over 2,000 smartphone owners, and we saw that they look at their phones over 1,000 times per week. Think about that. Over 1,000 times per week. The average user is on their phone for 3 hours a day.
Right, 3 hours, and that's, you know, like a quarter of your day. Really, a quarter of the waking time of your day, the average smartphone user is actually spending that time staring at this phone instead of looking around, you know, listening to the world, walking, looking at the nature, the sights, the road ahead of them while they're in their car. I mean, they're actually just staring at this screen instead.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we also saw in this survey that the majority of the respondents said that they will check their email, check the news, or check the weather before they even get out of bed in the morning, which is incredible to me. It's this compulsive need to have information at all times.
Right, and we're looking at this almost like an addiction. This phenomenon has become somewhat like an addiction. Really not somewhat, actually. it has become an addiction. I mean, has there ever been that moment? I know I have had this where I feel a slight vibration on my leg, and I think, oh, I got a text, and it's nothing. There's nothing there, and my body's actually creating that feeling to make me think that perhaps someone's thinking about me.
That's right. It's this phantom vibrate notification. It's a very Pavlovian thing that we've all become really conditioned to and sensitized to. And we have our guest here again in the studio with us, Maggie Wu. We wanted to hear, Maggie, your perspective, since you came from all the way around the world in Shanghai, that this is an international issue as well. It's not just something happening here at home for us at home. What's your take on this sort of smartphone addiction? I mean, how do you see that manifested in Shanghai?
Well, I would say it's a international phenomenon. It's not just happening in US. It's also happening in China. Especially nowadays, everyone is addicted to our cell phones, and we look at it cell phone, not just a phone anymore. It's a information where we find information from our phone, and nearly it's become part of our major life. And from my perspective, since I'm a traveler, I need to use phone more often than usual, especially if I go to a new country, new city. I need to get hold of people. I need to, you know, be in touch with them. And another thing about it is my experience with phone is I feel like people are also very addicted to the fact with Wi-Fi. Like when you're traveling, you need Wi-Fi all the time because you want to be connected.
Right, yeah. If you've ever traveled outside of your home state or home country, you end
4G.
Up in a place where you don't have cell service anymore. You can't use the internet. You can't use your phone. So to use your phone, you need to go to a Starbucks to get some Wi-Fi. So half the time you're spending, I remember I was in Italy, and half the time I was spending with my family, we were walking around for cafes that had free Wi-Fi. That would dictate where we went. Oh, we want to go to this museum? Well, do they have Wi-Fi? I don't know. We'll go to that museum. Or like, well, maybe should we eat this place? Oh, it looks nice, but they have an outdoor cafe. But do they have Wi-Fi? I don't know. Oh, that one does. Let's go there instead. And it really does become this, you know, sort of second part of you everywhere you go, even while you're traveling, even when you think you're going to leave your home, drop everything and go, you know, live in Thailand for a little while and just, you know, live off the land and that sort of thing. Somebody's got their cell phone and they're looking for Wi-Fi, and that's what's happening. And it actually is, we were reading an article from Psychology Today, and they've dubbed the fear of being without your smartphone, which affects 40% of the population. It's called nomophobia.
Nomophobia.
I guess no mobile phobia. Nomophobia. That's what it's.
No mobile phone bia.
Yeah, we've got a little bit etymology, some really serious stuff there. Nomophobia, and many suffer from anxiety if they lose their phone, even if only for a few minutes. You know, we rely on it from everything, from saying "I love you" to your significant other, to breaking up with that significant other. People have done both, from checking your bank balances to investing to sharing photos of your grandchild to sexting someone. I mean, people send and sexting. If you don't know what sexting is, it's this thing where you send photos of yourself, perhaps naked or raunchy photos, quote unquote, to somebody that you want to share with,
or suggestive messages,
just like
maybe.
You know, yeah, suggestive messages, just like kind of like the more modern version of phone sex, I guess we would say. And this is all stuff that you can do from your smartphone, from that 3-inch device that's sitting in your hand half of the day, you know.
Yeah, and it's that to me really is what you just said is the key, is that these smartphones have become such an integral part of our social lives, whether it comes to our friends and family, scheduling times to spend time together, to get dinner, to meet up, to dating, you know, whether it's texting the people that we date or finding new dates.
Yeah.
I think, you know, something like an enormous amount of people, I mean, I don't know the exact figure, but an enormous amount of young people today find dates on
online dating apps.
Online dating apps. Is that going on in China too?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's an app called Tinder, which is the most popular app in America. I'm sure it's popular in China too, I guess. Yeah. And I'm seeing a nod. And Yeah, I mean, Tinder allows you to look at a person's photo, say yes or no to that person. If they say yes to you, and they're somebody who's in your area, in your immediate 5 mile to 10 mile area, you can message each other and, you know, potentially meet up and have a connection somehow, one way or another, whether it be a date or, you know, instantaneous sex. A lot of people use it for that too. And what's actually crazy is now more Americans are bringing their smartphones into the bedroom. That's right, actually texting while having sex. A recently released study indicated that 1 in 10 participants admitted to having used their phone during sex. As far as young adults, ages 18 to 34, make that 1 in 5.
Julian, have you used your phone during sex?
No, I have not.
Tell the truth.
No. Out of those 5 people, there's 3 of us in here, and I am not one of them. Thank God. And but talking about that really surprised me reading about this study because, I mean, I know people are addicted to their phones, but I can't imagine during such a such an intense personal experience with another person, there are actually 20% of young adults taking their phones out during that experience.
Are you sure they're taking phones or taking videos?
Yeah, I mean, right. You know, it could also be an invasion of privacy. Are people taking? It's easy because they're small. They're compact. They don't all flash. So you know, someone could take a photo or a video very easily, and you might not even know. And it's just, you know, this is something that people are thinking about now. And you know, the cell phone and the smartphone generation is not. It's not all negative. This is not all a negative thing because. Along with, you know, when the cell phone came out, all of a sudden you could be contacted in an emergency when you were on the road, let's say, or you you were late for an appointment. You can call someone from outside. But then when the cell phone became a smartphone, you could email someone from outside. You could buy movie tickets from the road. You could be, you know, a mile away from the movie theater on your way and allow this spontaneous thing to happen. And I feel like cell phones sort of feed this spontaneous lifestyle. Everything becomes a lot less planned and a lot more, I'm thinking about this thing. I'm going to look it up and do it right now. And it's this instantaneous generation.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it comes down to is it's a tool like any other. So I don't think that it's necessarily negative or positive. It's really the applications that we give it. So, for example, if I had a hammer, I could choose to build a house, or I could choose to whack you in the head with it. And, you know, it doesn't make the hammer positive or negative. It's kind of how we choose to apply it in our daily lives.
Right. Yeah, and actually, we have a small bit of a program that we did with Armand about a year ago. And he talks about anxiety and cell phones. And we wanted to bring that to you. So here we go.
Today we're going to be talking about the impact of the cell phone on anxiety as a distraction from people. How many of you have ever felt insulted by the fact that somebody has their phone on the table while you're talking to them? Do you ever get that?
I've definitely felt that. A lot of the time when it's like a one-on-one dinner or something like that with a close friend or someone I'm dating, if they've got their phone out, it's a straight disrespect to me sometimes. I take it that way.
Well, here's a question for you. Do you do it? Do you do it if you're out with your girlfriend? Do you take your phone out and put it on the table? And
I often see if the other person is doing it, then I feel like it's okay to do it on my end.
So it means we're going to limit our contact. That's what it says. It says we're going to have a group here. We're not going to be one-to-one. We're going to have a group. So the question is having your cell phone a way of getting angry and demonstrating anger at somebody? By putting a distance between you and them.
Absolutely. It's very passive-aggressive. I mean, what you're saying is in a one-on-one situation, it's you, me, and then my phone, which is everyone else in my life.
Everybody else in the world.
And I'm looking at that, even though you're sitting across from me.
Right, like it's like this thing is could be more important than the conversation I'm having with you right now.
Oh, it's my cousin. I got to take this call. You know? Well, I don't know. I'm not like that. I like to turn off my phone. But I guess other people who are more nervous. So people who respond to their phones immediately, I make as a theory, I believe, are people who are more nervous and more, and I'm going to use the word pathological. It's a sign of a problem. If you got that phone in your hand and you can't let it go, if you can't leave it in another room, if you use it as your way of communicating silent things to people. I've seen people, I know of a man who was having an affair, and while he's having the affair, he's talking to his wife at the dinner table, and he's texting his girlfriend. Is that not a way of saying I'm angry? You know, here, right in your face.
Yeah, sure.
So in other words, you're never really waiting for a phone call. Because in the past, you would have waited for the mail to come. What so this illusion of I'm waiting for a phone call, no. That's an illusion. You mean you're nervous. You mean you're nervous. That's what it means. It means that you're feeling anxiety and that it doesn't matter what it is. Your symptom of jumping on the phone is a symptom of being disturbed at the moment.
And there's this unspoken rule that's come about with the proliferation of cell phones, which is that everybody has a cell phone. So if you're not contactable, then there's something wrong because we know you have a cell phone. So if you don't respond within the day from a text, is your phone dead? Are you missing? Is something going on? If you don't respond...
Are you accountable for that? You mean right. You're accountable
you've
for
become,
not responding?
You've become accountable now that everyone has a cell phone.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. I love that bit where Armand says, you know, in the past, what would you have done? You know, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. And it's true. I mean, in the past, when someone left the house, that's it. They were gone. They were gone until you saw them again.
Right. And also, it kind of, an interesting thing for me, that I remember me and Armand had talked about this, it's when you made a plan with someone, if you said, let's go out to lunch on Friday at 1 o'clock, and you made this plan the week before, you would agree to that, write it down in your schedule book, or, you know, make a notation in your head and be there at 1 o'clock.
Sure.
Now, what happens in 2000s, in 2010, 2015,
everything became
vague.
Everything
became
vague.
You have to actually confirm with the person the day of or the day before, say, oh, that plan we made, is that a real plan or is that just sort of like a thing we were talking about? And I was talking to Armand about this, and he says, why do people keep confirming with me? Why don't people just come on the day that they say that they're going to come over? And what happens is this thing happened where it's easy to drop out of a commitment. So if something else comes up that's more exciting than that lunch that you were going to have on Friday, you can go do that instead and text that person, say, oh, sorry, I can't make it. Something came up. And you can say that an hour or two before, and it's sort of acceptable in most places because you have this phone and everybody's contactable. So if you're late, half hour late, you say, oh, I'll be there in a half hour. I'm so sorry, I'm running late. But if, let's say, you didn't have a cell phone back in the, you know, the 70s, the 80s.
And even the 90s.
Yeah, somebody would wait for you to be late. Yeah. And if you were late.
And that's the other part of what you mentioned, that making plans was much more concrete because it wasn't just, I'll see you Friday at 1.
Right.
It was, I'll see you Friday at 1 by Grand Central Station underneath that overpass bridge thing.
Right.
In front of that Pershing Square.
You really had to commit to something if you're going to do it. And it became a lot less of this. You didn't have the ability to just kind of drop out last second, which has become very common among people in this generation, and like myself. And I know I see myself doing it all the time. I would say, oh, this concert came up on Friday, so maybe I can move our appointment to Saturday and make that fit in and fit this thing in. And my schedule became a bunch of building blocks instead of a concrete thing.
So here's a question for you. Is there a benefit or something to be learned or gained from maybe taking some time away from our cell phones? I mean, I know Maggie had that experience. Maggie, you spent 10 days without a cell phone. What was that like?
Yeah, when I was in Australia this February, I attended this course called Vipassana Meditation. So basically it is...
When you were where? Sorry.
In Australia.
In Australia.
Yeah. It was 10 days. We're living in this very secluded area that you are not able to communicate with anybody outside of this camp, let alone to say inside of this camp, you're not able to talk to anyone or even making eye contact. So before you, enroll yourself in that program, you have to submit all your expensive things, including your cell phones. Mm-hmm. So imagine, you are able to access to your phone like 24/7 before, and all of a sudden you can't even you know, look at yourself
anymore. How did it feel? How did it feel going into that? I mean, did you have anxiety around that?
Of course, at the beginning, because I was very anxious. Like my dad told me, "Are you gonna make it?" Because I look at you, you are using your phone like every day in your life, so it's gonna be a very sudden change for you.
Yeah, and you know, the reason this becomes such an addiction, I think, and a lot of things I think become addictions, is because there's this social aspect, this way that it connects back to all the people that you find important. Like, I remember I have a friend who was very addicted to video games, and this video game he was addicted to had this social aspect to it. There was a friend list that he would go on, and every day he would talk to these people and speak to them. This is the only way he could keep in touch with these friends. And so if he didn't log in at a certain time on a certain day, he would miss out, and they would say, "Where are you? Where'd you go?" And it's the same thing with your cell phone. When you're contactable 24/7, if all of a sudden you're not, you're saying, all of these people are trying to contact me. All of these people are trying. What if they're trying to send me this thing? What if there's something I'm missing out on? And all of a sudden you're missing out on all of this stuff that might be happening, and it's like losing the ability to speak to the people that are important in your life, and that's what the smartphone becomes for you.
But it's actually nice when you get away from it for 10 days.
Sure.
By the time you get your cell phone back, and I was afraid to turn it on because I would be like, connect to the reality world again. Yeah.
I mean, according to a survey done by Secure Envoy, 70% of women have phone separation anxiety as opposed to 61% of men.
Yeah, that was my next question. I was going to say, we all see that younger people have much more of this addictive nature around the smartphones.
Right.
And is there a difference between men and women?
Right, because I know many men, for example, who aren't on Facebook or don't have a smartphone because they want to, you know, feel this. And I don't know many girls, actually. Do you know any women who try to stay away from social networking?
Of course they are.
You do? For what reasons do you think that they stay away from it?
Maybe because they're very private people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to share their lives with many other friends.
Yeah, and also, is there any kind of fear, do you feel like, on your privacy as a woman on you know, social media and stuff like that?
Well, it really depending on who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes women are more afraid of stalkers or people who can actually infiltrate their private lives, and yeah, it could happen. But nowadays, we're living a very international and sociable life, so everybody can steal your private information,
right,
even if you don't have a Facebook account.
Yeah,
sure. And the interesting thing about Facebook, and to bring it back to the smartphones, is one impact that smartphones had, and cell phones in general, is in many ways they eliminated the phone call as a means of conversation. There's a lot of people who don't phone call, don't use the phone to speak to people. They just text all day.
Right.
And
the text in some ways will be convenient. Let's say you're in a quiet place and you can't, you know, send a phone call. But then once you leave the school or you leave the hospital or you leave this workshop that you're at where you can't speak on the phone, they'll still continue texting because it's easier to sort of spend the time, figure out what you want to say, put it together, and then send the perfect text.
Well, one reason I left Facebook a few years ago is that I wanted to have more meaningful, more intimate connections in my life with family, friends, and loved ones. And at one point I had like hundreds, maybe I think I even had 1,000+ friends on Facebook, and there were a lot of them who I didn't even know who they were.
So it's basically a waste of time.
It had its pluses. And
yeah, I mean, you know, it has its merits. I mean, there's definitely like it allows you to keep in touch with people that you might not necessarily be able to keep in touch with too. And I know my father was able to reconnect with a lot of people from his old neighborhood in the Bronx, from his elementary school and middle school, who he would have never found without Facebook. But at the same time, you know, are most of them real? Are you building these relationships based on something that doesn't sort of exist?
One thing I did find is that my closest friendships, they all survived. I mean, all the people who I care about the most and who care about me, you know, they have my number. They can give me a call just to say hello. They right. have my email. They could write me a little note, happy birthday.
Right. I know me and you, we'll call each other a lot of the time. We'll talk on the phone because we do radio, so we like hearing voices. We like our own voices a little bit. But, you know, I know Armand loved phone calls and would leave me voice messages. And I remember his voicemail message was, thank you for texting and emailing, but what I really love is the human voice that you can leave me, or something like this. It was a little bit of a paraphrase, but that was his voice message, and then you would leave him a voicemail. And it was great because so many people would send emails or texts, which sort of lack the charm of the humanity of a phone call, even. And with that phone call and with the voice, it really brings it back to life.
Yeah, he left fantastic voicemails too. I mean,
yeah, he did.
he was a master of leaving a voicemail on your message box.
Maggie, do you find yourself calling people on the phone mostly, or do you usually text, email, message?
We have something called WeChat, which is basically a combination of Facebook.
Yeah, it's like WhatsApp, right?
Yeah, it's like WhatsApp, but it's also like a Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. So we have that, and on that function, we can record our voice, like instant voice.
So you'll send like small voice messages.
Right, up to 60 seconds.
They're not interactive at the same time, so they're not live.
They are live.
They are live, but it's something that you send and then the person receives it?
Right, immediately.
Right. So, but for example, when you're saying it, they're not hearing it immediately.
No.
Right. So, So there's sort of like, it's like a voice text kind of.
Yeah.
So it still has it's kind of a workaround in finding the personality of your voice, but still having the convenience of a text message.
Right.
But what's interesting, we were talking about...
Without the dynamic interaction of a phone call.
Right, I mean, because there's something beautiful about sitting at home on your couch and just talking to a friend or
Absolutely.
A significant other or a family member for like an hour. Just hearing their voice, it's a very intimate thing. You hear their voice right in your ear, which is like, I mean, if you've ever been in a close relationship and some, you know, your significant other has spoken into your ear, it's like a very intimate, vulnerable thing to do. And, you know, that's what the phone call is in a lot of ways. And and it's so rare that it becomes even more intimate.
You know, you remind me of a very good friend of mine. I've been friends with this guy for about 10 years. And we see each other maybe once a year. And we speak maybe 3 or 4 times a year. But when we speak on the phone, we speak for 45 minutes to an hour.
Right.
And it's something I really look forward to, our discussions. And because there's a real substantial connection that happens there.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. Looking back at the past, like we were saying, have you ever thought about, before smartphones? What about before phones? I mean, I can imagine when phones first came out.
Yeah, people said letter writing is dead.
Yeah, right. Letter writing is dead, and the intimacy of talking to someone in person is dead. All you do is call people on the phone and hear their voice. You don't even see their face anymore. And it's like, I can imagine,
right?
You know, that conversation was happening on the radio, and that was what people were talking about. And it's interesting, we're moving even farther and farther from that.
Think back even before that. What about when letters first came out?
Or like, look at these telegrams. Oh, we're just going to send telegrams all the time. You know, it's ruining communication.
Can you still send a telegram? I think you can.
I'm not sure. I feel like it must be a very, like, a nostalgic kind of, like, retro thing. Or military thing to do.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's quite expensive, I think, to send a telegram. But
I would love it if one of our listeners sent us a telegram.
I don't even know where I would receive that telegram.
A Morse code.
Yeah, a Morse code telegram. We're actually reaching the half hour right now. Thanks for tuning in here at WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
We'll be taking your calls after the break as well.
Yes, we will. And yes, we'll give you that number actually after the break. And we're going to give you a little song here about the kind of thing that happens when you send a text or use your phone to hide away from that intimacy. Here we go.
Are we really happy? masquerade. Both afraid to say we're just too far away from being close together from the start. We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way. We're lost inside this lonely game we play. Thoughts of leaving disappear each time I see your eyes, and no matter how hard I try to understand the reason why we carry on this way, we're lost in this masquerade.
That was This Masquerade by The Carpenters.
And you're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Today we're talking about the impact of smartphones and text messaging on society. And want to say hello to some new members to the Positive Mind family. Thanks to everyone, by the way, who sent in your contributions last week and the week before.
Yeah, I mean, our fund drive was a great success, and we are so excited to send all those premiums out. They're already there. You should be getting them already, or as of today.
Definitely, and this is a great topic that we are excited to explore. And Robert L. in Manhattan and Ron in Manhattan, I hope you're both listening today, because this is definitely something I know that you can both relate to. As we continue to discuss the impact of smartphones on relationships and social interaction.
Yeah, and I want to move more towards exploring this idea of social interaction and the way it's changed along with the proliferation of text messaging and smartphones. And there's an article in on CNN.com called We Never Talk Anymore: The Problem with Text Messaging, and this is by Jeffrey Kluger. And I just wanted to bring up that they quote an MIT psychologist, Sherry Turkle, who's one of the leading researchers looking into the effects of texting on interpersonal development. So Turkle believes that having a conversation with another person teaches kids to, in effect, have a conversation with themselves, to think and reason and self-reflect. That particular skill is a bedrock of development, is what she says. And then she talks about texting apologies. And this is a really interesting thing. I mean, I'm sure we've all done this. Said I'm sorry to someone. And when you text it, when you just write the words I'm sorry on your phone, it becomes something totally different than the real kind of apology that you've always given in person. That you, as an adult, for example, someone without a cell phone, an apology was always an intimate back and forth. It's a very, intense thing sometimes. And Turkle says, saying I'm sorry and hitting send is a vivid example of what's lost when we type instead of speak. A full-scale apology means I know I've hurt you. I get to see that in your eyes, you get to see that I'm uncomfortable. And with that, the compassion response kicks in. There are many steps, and they're all bypassed when we text. When the apology takes place over the phone rather than in person, the visual cues are lost, of course, but the voice and the sense of hurt and contrition it can convey is preserved. And part of the appeal of texting in these situations is that it's less painful. It's less difficult for you to apologize. I mean, when you're really owning up to something that you've done, is owning up to it really just texting, I'm sorry? Or is it going to that person in asking them out to dinner and saying, grabbing their hand or looking them right in the eyes and saying, I'm sorry. And I think it's a question not many people ask these days when it comes to this generation of smartphone users.
You make a great point with that, Julian. I think communication comprises of so much more than words, right? When we communicate with someone, there's the words we say, which is just the base level. But then there's how we say it, right? There's the tone of voice that we use to communicate different things. For example, one sentence could mean different things based on the tone of voice.
Right.
Right? Like, if I say to you, are you really going out tonight? That's a bit different than if I say, are you really going out tonight?
Right. I mean, I know as an actor looking at the text in a script and seeing the lines is much different than when I actually say the words out loud. I mean, you can look at a script and have no idea what's going on, but once you start saying these words out loud, you say, oh, okay, this is what I'm saying. This is what my character wants. He's actually trying to seduce this character. That's why he's saying, you know, come in. You know, come in. You just knocked on the door and you say, come in. But the way you say that is so different in so many different contexts.
Right.
Which is really, really interesting. And we want to talk more about that. And we actually want to hear from our listeners today, now that we are back on air, done with this fun drive. We want to take your calls and we want to hear what you, what kind of experience you've had with social interaction and how that's been affected.
Yeah, how do you feel that smartphones and cell phones have changed the nature of our relationships and our communication? So as we said, texting, right, boils down all communication to just the words, which are really, when you think about it, a very small part of the overall message, because now you've taken out tone of voice, which is really important, and even
body
more
language.
Than that, yeah, body language. Body yeah. language is such a critical component
yeah, I mean,
of conversation.
How do you convey sarcasm across the text message? A lot of the time I'll see a text message and say, are they being sarcastic or is this real? I have no idea. And I have to call them and ask them
yeah.
or meet up and really see how the feelings are truly being conveyed. And what happens now is that we look at a text message and that is the main way a lot of people, younger people mostly, but a lot of people will communicate. I mean, on average, people are sending 88 text messages per day.
88?
88 text messages per day. And that's just an average. I mean, there are people that send hundreds
and hundreds. I bet there's people that send 88 an hour.
Right. I mean, I find myself, I'm sure I'm in the higher echelon of that you know, group of people. But anyways, we want to hear from you. Your voice we want to hear. We don't want to hear your text messages.
We want to hear your tone of voice.
We want to hear your tone of voice.
The words you choose.
Exactly. Call us at 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. We want to hear your opinion and your feelings about this topic we're talking about today.
And I want to clarify, I personally don't think there's anything inherently wrong with texting. For me, it's a very utilitarian thing, but it's not something that I personally choose to use to have more in-depth conversations. I tend to see it as a great logistical tool. So if I want to meet someone or organize something logistical, for example, like I'll be outside in 5 minutes. That to me is a great use of a text over choosing to make a phone call. But if it comes to having an in-depth conversation that's maybe more intimate, maybe more around a friendship relationship level, I think texting, we lose a lot of what we hope to use in that conversational process.
Yeah, and also a lot of people will avoid conflict by texting instead and having an important conversation that would be normally very painful and very difficult over text, because you have the time to decide what you want to say and say it perfectly. You have the freedom to have all your feelings but hide them from the other person on the other side. And I think it gives people a lot of convenience and
It's like a shield in a way.
It gives them, yeah, your phone becomes a shield. And as our screens get bigger, we get a bigger shield almost. But anyways, we have Joseph on the line here. Joseph, are you there?
Yes, good morning, yes. Good afternoon, rather.
How's it going, Joseph? And thank you so much for calling. So what experience have you had with this whole proliferation of smartphones and texting? Are you somebody who has important conversations by text, or you just sort of use it out of convenience?
Well, for starters, I do not have a smartphone yet.
There you go.
I'm hesitant to get one because I'm feeling so good for several reasons. Number one, I recently got off of Facebook, and
congratulations.
I never felt better. Thank you. I was on for 4 years right after a high school reunion.
Right.
And it felt good to get on Facebook right after the reunion, because then I was still kind of living that reunion, and it was feeling good. But then it was like I was reliving everything from day one, which was, and there was a lot of good memories as well. And then I became sort of trapped in my whole past in a way, and I was like, this is not healthy, not healthy at all.
It's interesting that you bring that up, Joseph, because recently studies have shown that people who use social media a lot, very frequently, are actually less happy because they fall into the trap of comparing themselves to others and reliving, as you say, earlier things.
Yes, exactly. I felt myself reliving constantly the past, good and bad, and it was like my whole life was just staring at this computer and not going out that much.
Yeah.
And like one of you had mentioned earlier, you believe in like solid relationships with family and friends. And the same thing, as soon as I got off, I said to myself, you know what, my solid friends who've known me since I'm a little kid, they know how to reach me.
Right. They have your number written down or someplace safe, because they know that they need to get to you, and when they need to, they have that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you ever find yourself when you were on Facebook? This is one of those scary things for me. When you're kind of just scrolling down your newsfeed and you're not thinking about it, you're just kind of looking at all this stuff, and it becomes so detached. And I almost, you feel like almost out of your body. You're just kind of living through all these other experiences and people, and you're not really doing your own thing anymore. And I think that was one of the most terrifying things for me with Facebook.
Yes, I understand that. Definitely. And, I mean, there were positive sides to it as well, reconnecting and reliving a lot of those great memories as well. But in the whole scope of things, on March 12th, 2015, I just wrote two sentences after deleting all my photos and just unfriending. I just said, this has been a fun experience, period.
Right.
I am now off Facebook, and I feel so good. I mean, maybe one day I will go back, but I said to myself, I'm just putting too much of my psychic energy into this instead of like the real world and looking people in the face and going out and doing things instead of sitting down behind a computer.
Yeah, you know, scientists have recently said that it's possible that our entire universe is a computer simulation. So if that is the case, we might as well actually go outdoors and enjoy it rather than, you know, sitting on Facebook
all
day.
Well, it is all electricity, as per Einstein, right? It's all about energy.
Yeah.
So it's just another way of us displaying that energy. And another quick note I can make, I know you probably want to take other calls. I'll never forget, about 7 years ago, I reconnected with an old friend, and we ran into each other somewhere, and then we exchanged numbers. And she texted me first, and I said, okay, and I texted her back. And like about, 20 minutes of this went on, and I just said, okay, enough, let me just call her. I called her, and she said, oh, wait, I'm not done texting, hang up.
Oh, my God, wow.
Yeah, I was like, what?
She's like, wait, I was in the middle of a sentence that I cannot say over the phone.
It was just, like, too much. So, I mean, and also with the smartphone thing, I know it's helpful, but I'm saying, you know, if I do this, it's like, once again, I'll be, like, too connected. So that's a big, question mark with the smartphone for me.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Joseph, and tuning in today. And it's great hearing from you.
You're welcome. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
212-757-5555. We're talking about smartphones, texting, and how the age of social media has impacted relationships and communication.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Joseph was just saying. There's this moment when you receive a phone call and you're saying, wait, am I ready for this? Or, you're texting someone, and I have a couple friends who do this, and I usually try to call. I know Ben and I, when we're contacting each other, we try to call each other because we like our voices. We like hearing voices. We're radio guys, and, speaking over the phone is much more exciting. We get a lot more done, and it's just a different experience.
It is. I mean, anytime Julian or I have to discuss anything regarding our preparation for the show or even just on a social basis, we do tend to pick up the phone and call each other. And that's something that I've noticed that I've made an effort to in recent years with my good friends, with my closer friends. I really try to pick up the phone and have that voice-to-voice connection because, as you said before, there's so much lost in a text message. On the phone, I can really make myself clear. And in a sense, we use the text message as this sort of shortcut, but it can effectively make things more complicated when someone doesn't really understand the wording or the tone of a text.
Right. It gets more complicated even though you feel like it's going to be more simple. And it's interesting. I mean, a lot of people also break their relationships off over text message. And this is like a common thing that's happening much more often. I mean, I know it happened with me once, and it's just the weirdest feeling.
Were you the dumper or the dumpy?
It was the only time I'd ever been the dump. It's the only time, and it was a strange thing to see because I'm saying, what is this really? You know, I feel like the one thing that deserves the attention of being physically next to each other, this one time this should happen, it doesn't, and it's like I don't even get the respect of seeing you in person.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, we've got Trey on the line here, Trey.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you guys are talking about this. How you doing anyway, fellas? How you doing?
How's it going? We're doing well here today.
I had to pull over to have this conversation. So, fed up with the smartphones. I almost wish they were never invented. I really am. I've been on Facebook for 4 years due to my girlfriend. She actually got me on Facebook.
Right.
Before this year ends, I'm getting off of Facebook. I made that promise to myself.
Good going, okay. Trey.
That the texting, I can't stand it. And I notice that in a relationship, whenever there's a problem, the conversation stops and it becomes text back and forth, text back and forth, text back and forth. And I've said this to my last two girlfriends. I'm like, look, if you're mad at me, call me and talk to me, or wait till I get in, and we'll talk face-to-face.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A lot of relationship arguments usually start over miscommunications a lot of the time,
and
too.
It's
misunderstandings.
A miscommunication because of the text.
Right.
Understand my intonation. You don't understand automatically if you feel a certain kind of way, you intone your feeling into my text.
No, absolutely. I remember this brings up, I was back when I was in college, there was this one girl who was always on her phone texting, and she had been in this long-term relationship. And I remember seeing her just furiously texting on her phone, furiously. I was like, what is she doing? What is she saying? And I look over and I see just pages and pages of caps lock, capital letters, her, you know, yelling over text, and her face was so straight. And it was just the weirdest thing, seeing her, like, focus all of her energy into her thumbs and text this argument. And I was just like, why doesn't she just call her boyfriend and say this and figure this out and have at it, you know, experience that? Because what is she, you know, what are they missing out on? What kind of relationship is that when it's based in just yelling over text? I mean, I can't imagine.
I feel it's a buffer.
Yeah.
Used as a buffer.
It's a wall that we use to we're holding each other at a distance with it. Is that what you mean?
Yes. You it's like you put up your own little personal wall with the text. The person can't climb over that wall because it's all via text. So you're not getting intonations, you're not getting anger, hurt, pain. You can erase all of that and just simply feed into the words that are rolling across the screen.
Well, yeah, the amazing thing about this is that you could be having a text argument with somebody, and like we played in the clip that we played before, I mean, they could be at dinner with somebody else that you don't even know. They could be doing anything, and you can be having a full-blown argument from, you know, you're saying, I feel this way, and you're showing them your heart, and they're on the other end, you know, eating dinner with a friend, but still having that argument with me. And it's this weird, I feel like when someone goes out of their way to have an argument over text instead, they're really avoiding the pain
doing.
And
it's,
avoiding
it's the buffer.
And yeah, it's like a shield, a buffer, a mask that they put on, and it becomes easier and easier as texts become more commonplace.
And it's there, and then within that, you're allowed to disassociate yourself from that person, from whatever feelings you are putting upon that person or instigating with that person. You're able to refrain and keep yourself in a safe, quiet place while you're pretty much yelling, screaming, degrading, and disrespecting somebody else that you wouldn't be able to do in person. You wouldn't be able to do that.
It would take a lot more courage in person, wouldn't it?
There you go.
You know, it would take a lot more gumption, if you will. And what I hear you saying, Trey, when you said earlier that you almost wish that the smartphones had never been invented, I relate to that a lot because, you know, I'm a pretty sensitive guy. I seek connection with others. And, you know, when I get on the subway or when I'm just walking down the street or I'm in the park or in a room full of people and I look around and everyone is on their own little phone in their own little world, it makes me wonder, you know, is this maybe it's a good step in technology, but is it a good step in interpersonal technology?
No, I think it's one of those things that unfortunately mankind, we have this way about taking something great and finding the bad thing in it and exposing that bad thing. Because I believe that the technology is great, but we have overused it.
Right. It gets to that point where it's so overused that...
There you go.
That
it's
we've lost...
It's become the be-all and the end-all of every form of communication. And
right.
I would... You know what? I would like to get a letter that wasn't a bill. I would like to get one. Just to read it, to smell it, to be able to look at it over and over again. I mean, you know, I don't know what that is.
No.
My parents grew up with that. But
yeah.
I don't know what that is. If I get mail, it's a bill.
Yeah, and the incredible thing is when you do get a letter from someone, you know that I feel so much respect for the fact that they went out of their way to do something that is not normal anymore. That they went out and they hand wrote a letter and they mailed it, they licked that envelope, they stamped it, and they sent
yeah,
it to
and
me.
And you feel good.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, we should all, you know, maybe today send a letter to someone we care about. And
I'm going to go home and write a letter.
Yeah, a letter or, you know, give someone if you
all
don't
right,
have the time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for this, man. This was like the perfect conversation that we should be having more of because we need to be talking to each other.
Absolutely,
forget
Trey.
The text. We need to start talking to each other.
Trey, thanks
all
so
right,
much
guys.
For the call.
Thank you so much.
212-757-5555. We have a few minutes left. We'd love to hear from one more caller, if you would.
Yeah.
Give us a ring, maybe on your smartphone, maybe on your landline, if
yeah.
you still have one.
You know, that smartphone does make phone calls, believe it or not. There is a phone app, and you can call people on it. But let's start this movement. You know, let's start this movement. Send a letter. Make something matter. If you're going to write something in words, make it something that you respect.
Yeah, we received so many great letters in the recent weeks and the last month or two here at the DeMel Center from listeners of The Positive Mind, and I definitely want to thank all of you who wrote to us on behalf of Julian and myself. We really appreciated reading those letters, and we're working on getting back to you, those of you who have written us letters. I know we have some emails that we have to answer, and we will go through those after the show, I promise. We have not been ignoring you. We have just been very busy with preparations and other work stuff outside of the radio. We have time for one more quick caller. Rosemary, thank you so much for calling in. How are you doing today?
Okay. Great, thank you.
Rosemary, do you want to weigh in really quick since we're up against the break? Your feeling on smartphones and how it's changed communication.
Sure. I refuse to get one. I refuse to talk on one. I refuse to text. And I'm completely against them because it is so upsetting to see everyone just sitting. You go out to eat in a restaurant. Everyone, no one's talking. Everyone sitting across from each other just texting or just on their smartphones.
Yeah, there's actually a restaurant in San Francisco, which is something I think a lot of restaurants should start doing. And they give you a 10% discount if you check your phone in at the front. I mean, it's amazing that that exists at all and that has to exist, but at least people are aware of what's happening, that it's really getting out of control.
It is. And, you know, I could definitely, my husband's always, we constantly fight. He wants to get one. He says, and everybody I know has one, but I'm just like the last holdout. I just don't want to do it. And a lot of times I don't even want to talk on the phone. If I have something to say that's, you know, means something to me, I make an effort to see the person face to face because of what you guys were talking about before. I want to assess body language and see what exactly what's you know, what's going on with the person. I
Absolutely.
Mean, even phone calls and yeah. in my something, you know.
Yeah. Rosemary,
that's
thank
me.
You.
I'm, you know, up there.
We're actually up against the break right yeah. now, Rosemary, but thank you so much for your call. And we love hearing from everyone about their feelings on this stuff and every topic we discuss.
Yeah, and it's true. When you meet with someone in person, there's a sort of respect that comes out of that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something we really should look to do in our own lives if we want that back, you know? So thank you so much for calling, Rosemary.
You're welcome.
And thanks for tuning in today to WBAI 99.5 FM and The Positive Mind. I'm Julian Joiello. And
I'm Ben Starr, and we'll be back tomorrow, same time, 1 p.m. here on 99.5 FM.
Yes, and just you know, just a little quick note, we are back on schedule, so you can tune in every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. and hear us just talk about some interesting concepts and bring in some guests and ideas for you. So thanks for tuning in, and we're going to give you a little bit of music here on the way out.